Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Come up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Pull up Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like a young couple Blair, huh? Best podcast, flex it in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw them up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Wrap Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth. And with me, as always, my co-host, the Matt Hardy to my Jeff Hardy. And yes, I will take my sweet time saving you, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, how's it going?
I'm kind of pissed right now because I really thought I was going to be the Jeff Hardy because I was ready to do my little dance over here, down, ready to run in for the save. Because, you know, I would take my sweet time saving you. And it's all good because at the end of the day, if you make it out alive, that's what matters. Right.
Right. You got to get the dance in. Like you just gotta have
get the
to.
Dance in. That's right. For the meme, for the gift. That's what's
for the
all
meme.
About.
Yes. And with us, we have a wonderful guest here today. We are so excited
royal
to
guest.
Have a royal one. You are right. One half of the Ooh. Dastardly Duo podcast, Ooh. Queen Keeks. How you doing, Kiki? How you doing today?
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me. Thank you. And I'm with the whole Jeff Hardy.
Were you excited? Did you pop when you saw him come out?
Yes. I was happy to see him. He looked genuinely happy too. So I was very happy to see him.
It's always good.
It's Jeff
right?
Hardy.
I know. And it's like wrestling's least kept secret. Like we knew he was coming at some point.
Eventually. Like,
right.
Yeah. I feel like he even mentioned it. Maybe he mentioned it in an interview or something a few weeks ago. Like, yeah, I'll be in AEW, whatever.
Like
I don't
so
know.
So nonchalant. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk more about him and that in a little bit. But thank you for being here. And but just maybe to get us started out, like, could you tell the people a little bit more about you, about your wrestling fandom, in case they have the audacity not to know everything about you already?
Yes. My name is Queen Keeks. I am on Dastardly Duo 3. On Twitter, Dastardly Duo Podcast. We haven't been recording as much lately because we've both been busy, but I do color commentary in the Texas indie scene. Yes. You can catch me at OTOB and also at Wrestle Rave. Shout out to Nick. Also, I do a little bit of writing here and there. And I'm also a sponsorship for indie wrestlers and also indie wrestling scene. So you can't come to Texas without knowing who I am, basically.
Yeah
I was gonna say Queen Keeks stays booked and busy, and that's a lot, but thank you for laying it out so the people know where they could find you, how they could book you, all that stuff. We need to go to Texas at some point, Mari.
I'm telling you, all the cool people are in Texas, man. I'll visit.
Including Chappelle, C-Dog, who is our connection to you, Kiki. So thank you for a shout out to Chappelle. I don't know. You know what? Do you have any words for Chappelle while we're here? It could be nice. It could be mean. Drag him if you
embarrassing
want.
Embarrassing stories.
Yeah.
He owed me a drink, and he knows that. Chappelle, you owe me a drink. And I love you, and yes, and he's very supportive, very funny, and he owed me a drink. So, yes. All
right. So when we come to Texas, the drinks are on Chappelle. That's what I mean.
Yes. Always with him.
I love that. Can we stop down right here, Kiki? Tell us about you do color commentary for the indie wrestling scene. Can you tell us just like a little bit more about that? That's really cool.
I do color commentary sometimes for a wrestling promotion in Houston called OTOB. And also I was recently booked last month for a Health Club Pro with Black on Four Sides. Wow. And I'm booked pretty much. It's a couple of things that's coming up. I don't know if they want me to expose it as of now, but
take your time.
But I am mostly based in Texas. So it's only a few of us black women that's in color commentary. Me, also Janelle that's in Jobber Tears, and also Stephanie, she's based off in Alabama. Yeah. Those are the only three that I know of. So it's us three so far. But yeah.
That's amazing. So, maybe this is part of something you can't expose, but WrestleMania is going to be in Dallas less than a month. So are you booked and busy that weekend?
I am not busy that weekend because I'm going to be having fun that weekend. But it's a lot of events that's happening that you, it's just going to be a lot. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Are you guys coming?
No.
No.
We wish.
We have jobs, so we can get all the way over there. Yes, like,
but we're there in spirit.
Yes,
we need to send Chappelle actually.
Yeah, as a correspondent, we're based in DC, so it's kind of it's hard for us to get all the way across the country like that. At least for me personally, I don't know. Maybe
we need someone to pay for our tickets, and we'll be we won't be there. But like
the indie scene is booming out there in DC.
They just had the Trisha Dora Big Swole match out here not too long ago. Yeah, it really is. I truly wish I could go to more stuff, but it just feels like there's just so much on the market, which is great.
Yeah.
Great for the wrestlers, and for me it's just like it sucks for me because I have to pick and choose what I can give my time to.
Same. I mean, maybe we'll get there though. We're around, we've been around a year, we're going to be around probably like 10 more years doing this podcast getting old and gray and wrinkly.
Wishful thinking.
And pruny, and so it's gonna happen. But no, this is we'll have time to take it all in. That Trisha Dora Big Swole match though, I'm sad that we missed
very
that.
Sad we missed that.
We'll get it somewhere else.
Yeah, one day we went to a Survivor Series in Brooklyn.
We did
last year. It was fun.
I mean, we're thinking the Rock wasn't there.
I think everybody was disappointed.
The whole damn show.
It was nice to see Matt.
That's exactly how I feel. Great to hang out with Mari. That was about it.
That was about it. But yeah.
Wow. So, a golden egg. That's it.
They really tried it.
They did. They truly did.
It makes me so sad to think about it.
It really does.
Ooh.
But yeah. Austin, let us know how that goes. We'd love to hear like back from your experiences from the weekend because we know it's going to be nuts. I just know it. But let's get into a little bit of news here. A little bit of really sad news. Like I was saying, I was, for our normal listeners, our regular listeners, they should know that my background is a little different here because I'm in Jersey. And we were driving up here last night during the SmackDown broadcast. And you know, when I pulled over at a rest stop to switch seats, all the news broke about Big E breaking his neck. And it was like, I was so sad. Like when I tell you, I was fighting back tears, and it was in between. It was like, I don't even know how long it was in between like his injury and between we got the update, but I was just so like a nervous wreck. Luckily we did get a update from Big E. I think he posted it to his Twitter account saying that he, you know, he can feel all his digits. Like, it was a really bad, I can't watch the spot. I'm not going to lie. I cannot watch that spot. My husband watched it and he was like, no, you're not going to like this.
So, seeing it live, it was just, oh my God.
Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly. So I could not watch the spot, but they were, you know, they said he got structured out. You know, we were trying to hear, I was like, do we know if he could move any of his, you know, fingers and stuff? And they said he gave a thumbs up, right, on the way out.
Yeah.
Did they show that on the broadcast?
Well, he also posted, like, the first video he posted on Twitter, he was just like, hey, fans, I can move my fingers. Like, he was just moving his fingers and stuff like that.
Great. Yes. Okay, perfect. Because, like I said, being on the road, I was just not easily accessing my phone and stuff like that. So by the time I did see him from the hospital, he said he could move all of his digits, he could feel everything, but unfortunately his neck was broken. And I mean, it is the best case of a worst case scenario. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least he's, you know. Yeah, this was hard. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, and also, like I was telling you before we started recording too, like, I was just talking with someone who heard the news on ESPN. So it's big news and people are seeing and hearing it. The thing with Big E too is that, and with pro wrestling in general, is that sometimes you just see things and you're like, oh my gosh, and you cringe and you're like, every time that Big E does that spear spot from the apron to the floor, I cringe. And I'm so glad that he's always been safe and okay in doing that. And, you know, you never could predict when something's going to be a little bit off or go wrong or mistimed or where someone's going to get hurt. But hopefully he's able to return kind of sooner than later. It's not as severe as it could have been, right? But I guess we'll kind of stay tuned for that. It was rough. Yeah. That's rough. It's rough because, like, he's... You know, we've been talking about him a lot. He's been in the spotlight a lot since since July, August, September.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll kind of see how things evolve and continue. But damn, this is not good. Not good in so many ways. And I hope he is able to return and come back to full health. So we will definitely see and stay tuned to that.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, accidents will happen. Like, it, you know, it's wrestling, accidents will happen. So yeah, keep that in mind. You know, let's not go blaming people too much, but you know,
they already started.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's hard. You know, it's really hard. Because Big E is somebody, you know, for us and for a majority of the fans, represents so much. You know, being one of the Black WWE champions, so few of them, especially, like, you know, historically. So
yeah,
it's rough. And then we've been talking about, like Matt said, we've been talking about, like, what happened to his push? Like, where did his push go? We thought this was going to be his push, and then he gets bumped down to a tag team and stuff like that. But honestly, none of that matters right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of that matters. People talking about he's not a needle mover. None of that matters. This man just got seriously injured. So unless you're talking about sending him positive vibes and praying for him, I don't want to hear anything else, to be quite
honest.
He's
getting love from, like, everybody, from all promotions, from like Young Bucks. Bio is prayers for Big E and just different. You know, because at the end of the day, they are all friends.
Yeah.
And I mean, the other thing, too, that I always think is good to remember is that, I mean, especially with Twitter, but social media overall, it's just like a lot of people don't have, I don't want to be like, a lot of people don't have the sense that we do, but like a lot of people don't have the sense that, you know, most reasonable, thoughtful, caring, kind people do. Like, some people just shoot off at the mouth saying whatever. Probably don't even have, like, their profile picture on Twitter, you know? And so, you know what? It is what it is. We know that this happens in the wrestling world, and a lot of places where there's that, like, hate or whatever, just like kind of disgusting response. We don't have energy for that, though, because we're just putting all of our, you know, thoughts, prayers, everything to Big E. So
yeah. And his
hopefully he's okay. And back as soon as he can be.
And I actually love the fact that he posted videos, and I know he probably did that because he didn't want the dirt sheets to lie. And you know how they'll over exaggerate or they'll say false things. So I think he wanted to make sure that he wanted to, like, hey, this is what's going on, because I don't want y'all to hear from nobody else because it may be false. Just like how they did Keith Lee and his situation when he caught COVID and things like that. So,
That's a great point. That's a great point. And I'm glad that he did that, because me being an anxious person, like I said, just 20 minutes, I didn't know. I was like so scared. But I also, like, I'm really sending prayers for him to deal with this, because, like, yes, I'm glad he's putting on a brave face and all that, but he still has to, it has to sink in for him, I'm sure. You know what I'm saying? And we just don't know what the state of his body is going to be even once he heals. So that's why I'm like, this is all for Biggie. Prayers for him. I hope it's not that bad of a break, all of that. I hope he goes through like an easy recovery as possible, and that, you know, there's no lasting effects. And I appreciate him wanting to comfort his fans when, you know, we need to be really comforting him, you know.
You know, I'll also add too, I don't know if this is still a thing, but I remember just over the years, and I'm thinking specifically about it's like 20 years ago, I guess, at this point, but like, you know, Lita broke her neck. And I remember reading in her book about how, like, all these different people who broke their necks, like Stone Cold Steve Austin was texting her, in touch with her on the day of surgery. And I hope that that's still a thing. I wouldn't be surprised if other people who've broken their necks are literally texting him, reaching out right now and showing that love and giving that support. So that makes me a little bit hopeful that at least he's, one, getting doctors who know how to fix your neck so that you can return to a pro wrestling ring and do matches and everything, but also that he's getting support from, like, the wrestlers who've actually been there and lived to kind of talk about it and keep going.
That's a great point. Yeah. Great point. All right. So let's kind of move on. In the same segment, you know, Biggie and Kofi were facing Ridge Holland and Sheamus, and they introduced their associate, who was Pete Dunne. I mean, clearly, we all know it's Pete Dunne, but they called him Butch.
Okay. I just want to make the first point here that there are a lot of things you could say about the name change. We've talked about theme song changes. Last week, we were talking about Tommaso Ciampa's theme song. But, like, they need less straight people in these rooms, too, because, like, if you had a few queer people there, like, they're not going to name a character Butch. That's not it's just that's
representation
not a good
in the back.
Yeah, representation matters.
So. Oh, yeah. I'm about to come on here and be a big old hypocrite, because we did just talk about this last week, and I was like, it's just a theme change, guys. It's whatever. I am pissed about this Butch name, though. I'm not going to lie. Like,
it could have been a different name, or I don't know.
It feels like a stopgap almost. They're kind of like trying to decide if they're going to, you know, I don't know if they're truly done with Pete Dunne or if they're, it feels like it's not properly all there. They're like, oh, we're just going to call him Butch, because you cannot tell me that you were able to trademark the name Butch anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, how is the name Butch not been trademarked in any type of wrestling situation?
This is my other thing, though. It's not search optimized, right? Like, this is always my issue when they change a name to, like with the Walter Gunther thing. Like, you know, we could go on and on and on. And actually, Alex in our Facebook group was just kind of venting about how, for I think the last 7 years, Pete Dunne's been established. He was on WrestleMania with the name Pete Dunne. So he's actually, like, probably in Royal Rumble. I was going to say Royal Rumbles, plural, but at least in one Royal Rumble. So he's been there. People know him. But damn, like, you can't search for Butch and find him. That's my thing. What's going to come up? Unless you put, like, WWE.
Safe search on.
And this sound like they gave him a dog name, Butch.
I'm telling you, it doesn't seem well thought out.
What is he wearing? He does look like a little Sheamus.
Yeah,
he was mad.
They literally put just all of the like great British people, because I don't even think they're all from
British people things.
They're not all from Scotland, right? It's just like
they're trying to stereotype it.
Yeah, like it's a great British, like the United Kingdom faction.
Yes,
like
that's what exactly. It's
like. Yeah, like
they but just put that little movie
hats.
What's the movie? What's the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Gangs of New York.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
That is so bad.
Why that hat, though? Like,
or actually, Peaky Blinders.
I'm sorry. I keep like pulling up the image too. And by the way, if you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out because we have all these images, the photos, all the things we pull up. But damn, what? Why the hat? It's not practical to wear hats in pro wrestling anyway, because you can't do moves with them on. So
I am truly hoping they fix it, Jesus, like, please, because just Butch, that does not inspire anything. It doesn't inspire fear. It doesn't inspire love, hatred. Like, man. Okay.
It just keeps proving Adam Cole's point.
Well, reiterate it for us.
Yes.
Like, the reason why Adam Cole didn't say.
Yeah. What,
because he didn't want to go through that same fate. Either they're going to change his name or change his image or change his theme. So,
It's clear now because we see like they would have done. Adam Cole probably would have been Butch. I mean,
that's horrible. I think that's where that's I kind of draw the line there, because like I don't mind. Okay, so the theme change, I kind of don't mind just because like I said, that seemed like a business decision the minute CFOs walked out. It was just like when Jim Johnston walked out. It's like it happens every time they get a new like musical director, they have to shift focus for the theme. But then like the name change, like with Walter and Gunter, I didn't mind because I think that somebody said Gunter was his like real name or something like that, or I don't know, but like I don't know, but it didn't sound bad to me, and mostly because I had no connection to Walter because I didn't watch NXT UK. But going from Pete Dunne to Butch is just very egregious, mostly because Pete Dunne has been known as Pete Dunne for, somebody pointed out, seven years on WWE television. So it just doesn't make sense. At this point, you're killing your own brand. And then it makes you wonder, are you killing your own brand just so that if he doesn't stay with you, you know, he goes somewhere else and he's not Pete. Like, it just,
I mean,
it's
maybe
very maddening.
Yeah. I mean, I'll also say, like, here's the thing. Like, they really, so with the Walter situation, they made it a point to say, oh, we're not just changing the name. Like, this is a family name. This is his grandfather's name or something like that. And then with this, they kind of like, oh, we, you know, you might know him by another name, but we've been calling him Butch. Like, it's basically what Sheamus and Ridge Holland said. I'm like, don't believe it, but also I don't care because, like, that's not what we know him by. I don't think we've ever seen or heard anyone call him Butch. So that's a whole
other. And the names aren't on par. Butch is not on par with Pete Dunne.
No.
Pete, what do you think?
It makes him sound like he's a dog or something.
It truly does. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm in full hypocrite mode. I'm in full hypocrite
mode. Pete Dunne is more intimidating than Butch. Butch is just like,
That's what I'm saying. I think I'm hoping we get, like we were just talking about last week, I hope we get like a Viking Raiders style. Like, I don't care. Just change it. Fix it, Jesus. Like, you go from War Machine to War Raiders to Viking Expanse to Viking Raiders. Viking Raiders is way better than anything else other than War Machine. So,
like, I'm not going to be like hypocritical on name changes, because we've had Hall of Famers that they had different types of names, different types of themes. I get that. It's just Butch.
It's the quality of the name change itself.
They could have just said Dunne.
I would be much better than, like, I hate when they take away either the first or the last names, but I'd rather you do that than just say Butch out of nowhere.
Dunne.
Or Butch Dunne.
Butch Dunne.
Butch Pete.
You're telling me there has to be a porn star named like that somewhere. Like, Wow. That's what we need. We need a porn star named that so that they have to rename him. Like just like the submission sorority.
Someone has this name already. Wow. And to be honest, I thought it was John Silver, because you know he always say the Butch.
The Butch. Uh oh. 23 minutes in.
Figured out how to. Okay, this is a good point. You made a good point, Amari. Yes. That's how you change wrestling. You just like start some kind of adult film company. Let's put some respect on their names, and then we give them wrestler names so that WWE needs to change their names. Wow,
it's like this went up to him like, you look like your name should be Butch. That should be your name.
I mean,
we ought to work smarter. That's what it was. That's smarter. What it is. Work smarter.
I know. I'm writing down this idea too.
Yeah.
Wow. We figured out how to make wrestling what we want it to be.
Or what is it? Are there any Nazis named Bush?
Like, oh my
somebody
God.
Figured it out.
Like, and then they'll actually change the name. Probably.
And then they'll actually change the name.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's horrible. But yeah, no, this is like that. Look, WWE needs to do better. They need to step it up. And I don't like it, but I'm also tired talking about this thing, because it's not a surprise. Like, it keeps happening. So whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
Well, based off the the Vince McMahon interview that he did with Pac, I feel like Vince, to the point he's just like, it doesn't matter what we do, because we're still going to get people still going to watch. We still got the how the WWE fan bases are. So loyal, so he knows that he still has a loyal fan base.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
Well, pal, we put butts in seats, and at the end of the day, I don't know what he said. I watched that interview though, by the way, after last week's podcast, because I hadn't actually watched it before, and I was like, I watched some highlights. I saw some clips. Pat McAfee, look, some people in the comments there. Let me have this moment.
Okay.
Why is he in this interview going on and on about how great Vince McMahon is the whole time? No one needs to hear that. Vince doesn't.
He signed his check.
It was not a good interview. Yeah.
I mean, no.
I just want to get that off my heart, because it's
not. But that's exactly the type of interview you'd get if I'm interviewing Rob.
I'm going to drag Rob's sister, with whatever. No, you're right.
It wouldn't make sense to kind of drag your boss right there.
Except Rob and Vince McMahon are very different.
Two
people.
Different powers.
One of them is a great podcast boss who we're so glad to work for, and the other one is Vince McMahon. So
yeah,
this is a little break that down.
Okay. All right. So Impact also had their Sacrifice pay-per-view this week.
Yeah.
And some notable things. Tasha Steele became the Impact Knockout champion, which is like amazing. Going into it, I didn't hear any rumblings of a title change there. So that's pretty cool.
Tasha and congrats Steele's to her. Killing it. Yes. And it was one thing I want to do is actually just give a shout out to the Ring the Bell podcast and everything on YouTube. Yes. I love what they're doing. I love watching DS Shin break down the videos. Paloma Stars over there breaking down the different clips. And they show the clips along the way. So I watched that early this week. And it got me really interested in a lot of things happening with women's wrestling in Impact this week. So, that was a moment, and I wasn't expecting that at all. But maybe that's because we're not Impact people.
We're not really watching.
Yeah.
But that was great. Kiki, do you know anything about this Impact storyline or anything like that?
I don't keep up with it. I just go by different Facebook groups when they upload news, and then of course the Twitter timeline. But other than that, I try to get into Impact, but it's just, I don't know.
It's a lot. No, there's only so many hours in the day too. And it's a lot. But damn, I don't know. I don't really know what to think of this. I just saw the big reaction to her win and people being surprised.
Yeah.
And the fact that that happened the same night as another title change, which I'm sure that we'll talk about in a second, also was notable. So good. I don't know what to think. I just love to see her holding that belt, and I hope that she's able to keep it and hang in there for a while. Because like I watched an interview from Tasha with Jaishel Nicole,
shout out to Jaishel,
phenomenal. And you know, it was cool to see how much like Tasha wants it, and Tasha cares, and Tasha has big things in mind for her career.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Stay tuned. And yeah, maybe we'll watch a little bit more Impact.
Speaking of which, the Inspiration, they dropped their belts to the Influence. And I don't really like these names. I'm not going to lie. Like the girls, don't like the names. Because I was like, oh, that's Emma. Like, you know, Tenille. Right. That's Tenille. I didn't know she was like in the Influence. I didn't know that. So it wasn't until I like watched and I was like, oh, like, because I would have known otherwise. But I heard that was a big surprise as well, from what I understand.
Yeah. That's what I from the timeline reaction, I guess it was.
Right.
So, yeah, there were a lot of reactions around that too, from like, one, there was the actual championship change, title change, but then also like a lot of people, I don't know. Apparently, I don't know how much people care about this, but like the Inspiration apparently have been like dressing like Britney Spears for a long time and have been taking a lot of inspiration from her. So that was one thing I saw on my timeline.
Yeah, they were dressed as the Slave for You video once. I saw that. I mean, no matter what, like Impact is doing what they're supposed to do, because they have outsiders like us actually checking in once, you know, there's a reaction. So, you know, good for them. And some unfortunate news from that night, Chelsea Green, who I think over there, she's going as Kelsey Green. I wasn't really sure.
No. What are you talking? Wait, is that true?
I thought one of the announcers called her Kelsey. I was like,
no, she's still Chelsea. He probably just said it
wrong. Missed, yeah, okay. I was like, I know I'm not crazy.
This reminds me of the time when Mari, we were talking about AEW, and you were like, oh, her name's Reba. And I was like, no, her name's Rebel.
I swear I thought her name was Reba.
And that's just because they've been calling her both. So.
Yeah, I think she's Chelsea Green. Yeah, she re-injured herself again I think it's the same wrist. Yeah.
Yes. And Matt did a great job of finding a clip from Chelsea Green where she went on oral sessions with Renee Paquette about six months ago in August. She explained why her wrist keeps breaking. And now, as much as I found the tweets of her wrist being held together by chewing gum and paper clips very funny, Chelsea Green actually... It was hilarious. She explains that like when she first, it's basically the same injury from NXT. In NXT, she basically broke not just her wrist, but her forearm. And when she got that repaired, she got a metal plate put into it. And then when she did her debut on Raw, it broke again, like it broke at that plate site. Once that happened, they had to go in and put in a longer plate. And that's when they realized, like during her 90 days, that she was actually allergic to the metal alloy used to put the bones back together. They didn't realize that until like after the second or third operation. So it was always a weak spot, which is why it kept breaking. So now, and they figured it out because her arm started swelling. So now they had to, I think they had to take that out. I don't know what they put in there. Cause I was sitting here thinking to myself as somebody who's in the medical field, I was like, if you're allergic to basically the only thing they have for, you know, what, for that intensive a break, I don't know what she's going to do. She said there was another surgery. She didn't say like what they put in there, but she basically said that it's a weak, her arm got weak from the metal itself. And so when she was on the oral session 6 months ago, she had a cast. She was talking about how like ROH and the Maryland Commission for Sports wouldn't let her wrestle with the cast, but in good old Nashville down there in Impact, they don't care. So that's why she's able to work Impact while also having a cast. So she took off the regular cast and now she has the gel cast. But that was what she said 6 months ago. And she says it's like an injury that's going to be constantly healing or something to that effect. So that's why she then broke it again. Like, and then I don't know. And I'm trying to make sure that it's like, it didn't seem kayfabe. Like, it didn't seem like a work. Yeah. I think she truly did break it again. So I don't know. And she said all of this was just, she just found all this out because she had played sports all her life, but this is the, I think this was her first like real serious injury. And because of that, it then led down the discovery of all of the other stuff. So
damn.
Somebody was, Renee was kind of like, well, girl, maybe you need to pack it up.
I should. That's, that. And that's part of the reason why WWE let her go, because she's too injury prone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what?
No, Chelsea Green can't catch a break on. Well, ooh. That was not
really that.
No pun intended. That was she. Look, I'm just gonna do what I do and just pull up an image of her. We're sending our thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, to Chelsea Green. So yeah, I mean, it might be time. All right.
No, look, I don't know. I'm not. No, you know what?
You gotta wait till it heals or something.
Yeah, but you know what?
You can't keep re-breaking it.
You could do it. You know what? You keep, if you want to keep, if you, she knows what's going on with her body.
True.
If she's willing to keep breaking her wrist for the business, yeah, and if she's still able to work, like, damn.
I mean, and
give her, she's so talented too. Like, just like, I don't know. I feel for her because I feel like I would do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I could still work and do this, and I just have to deal with my wrist being, probably not functional at all. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she even said in that video, like, the doctor was like, I know you're not going to listen to me, but you're going to need to keep the cast. Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah.
You're
going to need to keep the cast and keep it, you know, try and let it heal.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe we'll see.
All right. So that's it for the news of the week. If you want to send us any of your questions or anything like that, or reach out to us, you can send an email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @WrestlingRehapUp on Twitter. Use hashtag WrestlingRehapUp on Twitter to join the conversation. And then, of course, you can join our unofficial, official Facebook group, Job Has a Squadcast. Just reach out to us. Let us know if you're interested, and we will add you there. Hopefully you're watching our beautiful faces here on YouTube. If not, go to Rob Has a Podcast on YouTube, type in Wrestling Rehap Up and you'll find us there. And please subscribe to the our podcast feed wherever you listen to your podcast. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed to get links to all of the podcast networks. That's about it. So let's go into a quick ad break and we'll be back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, so, highlights of the week. I mean, ooh, what a week. This week has been like, it's been so jam-packed. Like we just spent 30 some odd minutes on news and basically included a pay-per-view recap in it. Yeah. There's like two different pay-per-views this weekend. But we got to start with AEW Revolution. We got a lot of people reaching out saying like, we can't wait to hear what your thoughts are on Revolution. Wow. What were some of y'all's favorite matches on Revolution? And I'm gonna start with Kiki because you're technically our resident AEW stan on the show this week. Yeah. So it comes to you. Yes. How did you feel about the pay-per-view?
The fun side.
Yes.
AEW Revolution. I would say my favorite match on Sunday, it will have to be the main event. Adam Page versus Adam Cole. Because for a lot of reasons, Adam Page had to prove, because everybody keeps saying that he's not a great champion. He's a boring champion. They don't,
Babyface champions.
Adam Page is the baby face that the wrestling industry needs right now, because we have a pattern of how heels is popular and the anti-faces. But we haven't had a true baby face since John Cena, I want to say. Yeah. At least like a true baby face that's booked correctly at that.
Okay.
And
okay.
Adam Page did a great job during that match. And also Adam Cole did too. But Adam Page had to let him know that you can't come to AEW doing that NXT stuff, because I'm big dog here.
Okay. I love that. And I completely agree. Like, everybody knows if they listen to this, like, I am a huge Adam Page fan. I'm so down for the cowboy shit. And I like how somebody pointed out, I don't know if he confirmed, but he came out like with rainbow colors on his jacket and his tights to kind of like protest the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida, because they were like in Florida. Oh, wow. And like, he is so amazing, and I'm so glad. And it kind of goes to show you that it is truly the fan base, because he is a well-booked babyface champion and people still don't like him. I think the fan base just does not like babyface champions, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but like, it's kind of funny, because in a weird way, like, we've been conditioned to not like those babyface champions, because WWE, like, for so long has booked champions a certain way, and they've booked babyfaces in a way where it's been really, like, just not inspired. And also, like, one thing that I don't know if this is actually a quote from Vince, but Vince, Bruce Pritchard, whoever, always talk about the money's in the chase. Like, that's what it's about. The money's in the chase. It's not in not in them having the championship, which isn't even true. You could book it so it's interesting. So
exactly.
That's like I'm glad that they're kind of pushing back against that, and we can have, actually, it's kind of weird to not have like baby faces as champions taking over. So I'm glad that Adam Page is kind of proving it wrong. And Mari, you were excited about him before, like, you were excited about him before he even like came back, I think, from, I don't know if technically it would be paternity leave, but he was taking off because of his kid being born. And you've been on the
mostly because they built his like character. It took like 2 years for him to, or 3 years for him to get the belt. And so like the match where he lost, where he couldn't like challenge for the belt for like however long, that I was like, give him the belt. And I think that's where they're right. It is in the chase, but then sometimes it's like, it's too long, you know, but I think I feel like it's panning out. I think they did it at the right time. Now I love Adam Page, and I don't know who's going to eventually take that belt off of him. It'll be very interesting to see, and to see when it goes
probably
down.
Probably MJF.
Okay.
MJF, they're going to push him. He'll be a perfect heel champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Woo. Yeah, thinking about Revolution and even like where we started this, favorite matches or moments, there was so much for me that was a highlight. And you know, like I liked that the main card started out with that Eddie Kingston, Chris Jericho match. And I think like between that match and maybe even like the Bucks Undisputed Originals, I keep wanting to call them Lucha House Party, Jurassic Express, like thing.
No!
You know, I think that they like that was a strong start to the show. And in general, AEW does like they do a great job like pacing these shows out where like if it needs a promo clip, give us the clip. But also, if it doesn't need it, let's just get to the match. Like Eddie Kingston basically ran to the ring. So I'm like, yes, that's what we want. We want people to fight. We want them to wrestle. So for me, that was all awesome. But not as much a match as just a person. I love Jade Cargill. Like every single way. I loved her entrance with Kingfish, who was just like performing on the way. Grammy Award winning or Grammy nominated artist. And just everything with Jade, like the fact that she's about to be 30 and 0 kind of blows my mind. Ooh. And I'm glad that they haven't done like half and half booking in any way with her. The last thing I'll say, and I don't know if anyone's pointed this out or talked about this, but I think like, so Jade hit her finish, the Jaded, for those who don't know, it's kind of like a glam slam. Mm-hmm. And she leaned back into the pin and was like looking into the crowd. And I think her daughter might have been front and center. And so I don't know if she was like reaching toward her daughter or mouthing things to her daughter, but I love Jade in every way. She's a great heel. She would be a great face too when it gets to that point. But damn.
She also broke the internet too with her kiss of death. Her kiss of death.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Yep. At the beginning of that.
Yeah, it was. How did you? Well, okay. What did you think? I've been like for the last week. I've been like, damn. I want to know Mari's thoughts, particularly on the kiss of death.
Oh, I was like, that was one of the matches. I was like, I'm watching live. Yeah. I'm watching it right here and now. And I was like, wait, what? and then the match just started.
Right.
Like,
okay.
And then when
like
when people explained it to me, I was like, okay, that makes sense. Because when she came out, I was like, oh, I yelled over to my husband. I was like, Jade is dressed like a Mortal Kombat character. And he was like, she's dressed up as Jade. I was like, yes, I knew it.
Oh.
And so I got the reference immediately-ish. but then once the kiss happened, I was like, okay, just a distraction. And then, you know, it went into the match. And then when people were like, oh, that's Jade's finish in the game, I was like, okay, cool. You know, it wasn't that big of a deal, but you know, people go people and they love that still frame of her kissing Ty Conti. So anyway, I love that she trends every time she's on the screen. Yeah, and I love that for her, you know. For me, I actually really like the face of the revolution match. Because we know I am a sucker for ladder matches. So
Me too.
There was a lot of spots that I was like, I don't think I've seen this in a ladder match before. Specifically, I want to say, I can't remember. It's been a week, guys. I'm sorry. But like, I think it was like Wardlow and Keith Lee.
Orange Cassidy
on
top of them. He had a few spots. I actually love that too. Those are some of my highlights. Like the spot where the one you're talking about, I think, well, actually, there were a couple. So there's one where he like climbed on two of their backs and was reached at the very beginning, reaching for the ring.
The brass ring.
Yeah. And then there was another where like, somehow he did like I'll call it like a skin the cat move, like pull up.
Yes, he did.
Ended up on top of a ladder, which
Keith Lee and
Keith Lee and Wardlow
were a lot of upper body strength too.
But damn, like if it were booked that way, he could have gotten the ring.
Yeah,
he had enough time. He was close enough. That was awesome. I love Orange Cassidy so much. He's fun. Yeah.
I really like that match. Like we said last week, we didn't know who was going to win it. Kiki, were you not surprised at the outcome? Because I think we came to that outcome, but
no, I knew it was going to be. I knew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I said if it wasn't Wardlow, it was going to be Keith Lee. It was either one of the two.
That's right, and that's what my thought. I thought I was hoping for Keith Lee, but then I was like, storyline wise, from what everybody's saying, it makes sense that it would be Wardlow. So either way,
yeah.
And I think everybody really showed out in that match. I really love a good ladder match. So that's one I definitely, again, also made sure I watched live. And then, of course, I mean, do we need to talk about how good Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson was?
Right. I
mean, are we expecting any less? It was great. Just mat wrestling with the physicality.
And then the shocker of William Regal.
Yes.
At the end of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah!
Oh my gosh! He surprised everybody. Like Tony Schiavone was like, he didn't even know that he was there and all that. Like everybody said, they kept it such a good secret, and good for them. I'm just like, it just annoys me. Like how bad WWE be fumbling the ball. Like I don't understand. I don't get it. Yeah. But
you know what's crazy though? What? AEW is doing everything that WWF used to do, and WWE is doing everything that WCW did in the early 2000s before they got bought off. It's crazy. They're booking like Russo is there and he's not.
Yeah. Well, they definitely changed. Yeah. Like it's so weird to watch because I felt like in watching WWE now or even this week in some of the highlights, like, for whatever reason, I thought of like, I don't know if either of you have ever seen like that old South Park episode where they were making fun of wrestling and it was like, they took our jobs. And like, that was the whole thing. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like WWE is more like that. Like it's a parody of itself. Whereas AEW right now feels a lot like wrestling, which is nice. Cause like, that's why we're here. But yeah, WWE is doing, it's like the WCW kind of downfall of WCW is a little bit of what it feels like, except WWE has way too much money probably to go out of business right now.
Exactly.
And I said, or not, maybe, I don't know. The budget cuts would say otherwise, but we don't know.
For me, the AEW product, I do like the product. I like the product, but I don't like the packaging. That's just the difference for me. Like, and I think we talked about it last week, but it's like the small production stuff that it's just kind of maddening for me. Are we getting to it here? But like CM Punk, yeah, let's talk about it right here. So the whole CM Punk MJF match, right? Mm-hmm. CM Punk comes out to his old music from like ROH wearing like his old gear. Somebody on the internet was like, oh,
right.
What's going on with the gear? Can somebody tell me a story? And CM Punk kind of like jumps down his throat about not knowing the backstory. Yeah, you didn't see the thread. Yeah, it was like, because you don't know long-term storytelling or something like that. Like it was really like gruff. And that's what I've always said kind of just pushes me out of AEW is because it feels so closed off and that might not be them. That might be the fan base. And I'm not trying to be like derogatory towards it, but it just doesn't make you want to try and even like, if I can't ask questions, then I'm just going to sit here and be like, just sit here, eat my food because you're afraid to ask questions because people will jump down your throat.
It's more because for a long time, you got to remember Tony Khan is also a hardcore fan himself. Right. So he's not strictly just a WWE fan. I've watched everything and I was a fan of everybody. So I think that's what makes the alternative different is because they're pleasing their fans instead of trying to get casuals, because we know that casual fan bases are dead anyway. And it's got it for a minute now. There is not really... The casuals is dead.
The mainstream casuals. I agree.
Nobody knows like the newer stars. They always mention people from Attitude Era or John Cena. Yeah. That's not it. Attitude Era, John Cena. That's it.
True.
Yeah.
No Sasha, no Bianca, none of them, because nobody doesn't know who they are.
I think Bianca and even Big E here is a little bit poking out.
When they went to Rolling Loud, if you look at the Rolling Loud Instagram comments, all it was, where's Jeff Hardy? Bring out Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy, where's The Rock?
The Rock, really?
That's what
the
I'm saying. Like,
I see what you mean.
And I have those, and I usually say like to people, I'm like, okay, I see those all the time. Like AEW doesn't want to go like, please the casuals. And I'm like, y'all, the casuals are no longer here. Like WWE kind of needs to understand, like, okay, since we don't have casual fan base no more, let me please my loyal fan base. And that's what AEW is doing. Like, okay, we know that the casual is dead. Tony is smart to understand that. The casuals are dead, so let me just please my fan base. And if other people don't want to be part of it, that's fine, because he's still succeeding. He's still getting the same sponsors that WWE has. I'm hearing rumors that he's possibly getting the HBO Max deal.
Right.
So, you know, it's still working.
Yeah. And but you don't think there's a line between pleasing the casuals and being open, having your product open?
I
agree that it should be open to. It should be open to. I saw the comment that CM Punk did jump down the, like, you should have known this. And I was kind of, my only issue was people was making a big deal out of Tony Khan buying Ring of Honor, and then just to turn around and be like, well, what is CM Punk doing? It's just like, I thought you was a fan of Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, and some people were pointing out, like, the people who are now, like, saying, yay, AEW bought Ring of Honor, were talking about just 2-3 months later when Ring of Honor was going out of business, like, oh, who cares? It's Ring of Honor. You know what I'm saying? It's
right,
like,
right.
It's so fickle. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so fickle. So I agree. I see why I can see why they cater to their fans. But like I said, it still just doesn't feel as inviting. And I think there is definitely a way between, like, being, like, too open or trying grabbing casuals and doing, like, stuff like bringing in Jake Paul, Logan Paul. Nobody cares.
Don't,
like, I hate that stuff. But I like, just a quick backstory for, you know, would be great for me.
Yeah,
like, for some
he kind of hinted it when he did wanted to do the dog collar match, because he's known for doing that in Ring of Honor. I think with AEW, they want you to pay more attention to when they do the promos, because that's when they kind of hint most of the story there prior to then doing video packages just like WWE does.
Right.
Yeah. And they talk, like, even the commentary, I know during the match, for instance, like, talked about the dog collar. But it's funny because, like, there is a little stuff, like, it's so small. But I can't remember who it was who I'm thinking. Oh my God. With I'm blanking on his name right now. What's his name? The guy who came out with the Young Bucks. Oh my God, with the little spray, but I'm blanking on him.
Oh, you know, I always forget that dude's name.
Like, yeah, I know his name. I'd be calling him Spray Boy. What's his?
I forget. I know. We know who you're referring to. Go ahead.
Yes, him, the Spray Boy, right? Like, he was there with them on the ramp, and the announcers, like, didn't say who it was, right? So, like, if you didn't know, that's probably why I can't even think of his name, because they didn't even, like, say it. But damn, it's on the tip of my tongue too. But anyway, like, it's like those little things where WWE goes overboard to, like, explain and re-explain, almost like we have, like, goldfish type of memories. And then because of that, like, I wish that AEW did that a little more, but, like, I love what they're doing. Like, this show felt like an awesome pro wrestling show. And WWE really, I think, needs to watch out, because, like, I think the buys of this were some of their top buys for Revolution out of any of the pay-per-views they've done. So it's growing.
Like Kiki said, though, there's no casual audience, and each product basically has their own audience, because they both kind of institutionalize this tribalism. Yeah. So, like, there's no watching out. Both of these companies are going to be here. They're going to be around for years to come. Let's just put that out of, nobody's putting nobody out of business. Like, it's not happening. What I'm saying? Like,
they don't even want to, because, like, it's all good for the business the more you're able to keep people into wrestling. Because kind of what we saw, like, 20 years ago is, one, TV habits change, so I don't even want to get started with ratings. But, like, if you're just not giving people what they want, then they stop being wrestling fans. And then their favorite wrestler, like, Rob, we've talked so much about the Boss Rob, but, like, his favorite wrestler is Shawn Michaels, right? And, like, it could be someone else from, like, the last 10-15 years, right? And so, you know what, I'm just glad that, like, they're giving people a different they're catering to a different group of people.
Yeah.
One thing I want to say, though, on the casual audience thing, and I mean, I keep plugging different podcasts on here, but
it's fine.
Matt Men podcast is one.
Oh, it's co-hosted
by Andrew Zarian, who has lit up the wrestling world, and Rich Stambolian. But like, Andrew is a TV media guy, and he talks about like P1s, P2s, P3s, mm-hmm. which is basically like P1s are like your hardcore, I will never stop wrestling, watching wrestling people. Mm-hmm. P2s are like a little bit less committed. P3 is less committed. But he talks about like how there isn't a casual audience in that same way anymore. And it's a lot of like P1s and P2s or whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about, but he's great in talking about it. Good to follow him.
Go listen to him.
Talk about that.
Because it's true. Yeah. Because I feel like I, as somebody who has a podcast and watches it every day, I could be a P1, but I'm more of a P1 for WWE, P2, P3 for AEW. It could be more if I was fed a little bit more. But I've also known that I could walk away at any time. The moment that Sasha Banks was gone for, you know, the summer of 2019, I put it down. I put it down for like 2 months, and I was like, my life is okay not watching wrestling. I'm fine here.
Sometimes it's hard to watch. It gets hard, you know, for a lot of, especially like as for so many reasons. But
And it's just like, because we done seen alternatives before, like when TNA was here, but it's just something different about AEW.
It truly
because the actual owner is on the same tax bracket as Vince McMahon. So it's just like, this is different. Like, this is different. He's like, he has even admitted that every playbook that he's done, he's learned from Vince. Like, you know, being a fan of WWE and seeing how he does things, and people always like, they're going to be just like WCW. I'm like, he's doing things like the mistakes that Eric Bischoff made. He has successfully nipped that in the bud in like 2 years. Like, you know, he allowed Cody and them to have creative control, and then when it started getting okay, I'm gonna have to step up and be an owner and start to look, you don't know what you're doing, I'm taking over.
And you know, I just want to say, speaking of, you just mentioned, you know, it's just different. Someone else who is just different. We got the debut of the one, the only, Swerve Strickland. Swerve Strickland is All Elite. How are we feeling about this one?
Well, I love Swerve.
I like Swerve too.
And he was actually one of my husband's favorite wrestlers when he was Shane Strickland on MLW. Yeah. And I think, and did he do a small stint on Lucha Underground? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
I don't think so. But like, so when he signed with WWE, and then he was NXT, and then he was doing so well as Isaiah Swerve Scott, like, I cannot imagine how that went down. Like, I don't read the dirt sheets or the news, you know, I don't really care to hear people talk about why they left and all of that. But like, it's just still shocking to me that he's not in that company anymore. But I'm glad he's on AEW. I just hope there's a place for him there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not trying to like be a downer before he even signs, but like, as I'm putting I was trying to find the clip of his debut. Like, he didn't do much. He just came out and talked, but it wasn't even promoted on their YouTube. So like, I want to see what happens. I want to see what he does. And Swerve is just amazing. He had a show, I think over the weekend, like an indie show.
A match just on Rampage yesterday.
Okay, awesome. What against who?
Against Tony Nese.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, they faced each other before, so
right. A little reunion.
I'm like, damn, I forgot Tony. Yeah, wow. There are a lot of moments where I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that they were released. Tony Nese was released last year at some point, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm so happy for him. I'm so freaking happy for him. So, man, It was just also a night that they were just like, yeah, we're going to trot everybody out. Because like we said, that's when William Regal came out. And of course, Jeff Hardy came out later. So AEW is doing big things. And like we said, this was a major week in wrestling. And of course, it's because of the news like this. Like, yeah, truly. And so is William Regal also, I guess we can talk about this a little bit. Mm-hmm. But like, William Regal, is he like going to be the manager of like Bryan Danielson?
That's what it's looking like so far. And then I've also heard that he's probably doing some coaching too, which they do need.
Yeah.
They really do need that backstage. So that is definitely a big, a major sign.
That's a big get. That's a big get.
I just think it's so funny though that like the headlines everywhere. William Regal apologizes for going over time in his segment. And I thought it was hilarious because I went on Twitter and I searched like Regal long or like Regal time. Nobody commented on it. Nobody noticed. Yeah. He probably went like a minute over. I don't know how long he went over time, but it was a great little promo. And I mean, it says a lot about him that he would go on Twitter and he's like, my only way of communicating with the roster and everyone and professionally isn't LinkedIn. It's here on Twitter. Yeah. So I'm just going to tweet out this apology. Like, damn, he didn't need to do that. He really didn't need to do that.
Maybe because when he was, you know, with the other company, they probably take that seriously.
Oh, you know they do.
So it's probably like, you know what, just in case if they operate the same way, let me just go ahead and like, no, William Regal, you're fine. You're a legend.
You know what? They probably have an email list over at WWE. Maybe AEW doesn't have like the group email list serve or something like that. So they can all email everyone. But either way.
It is courteous. It's just nice.
It was very, very courteous. Very gentlemanly of William Regal, which is like very true to form, in line with a lot of his past gimmicks, actually. And actually probably in line with the person he is. But I don't know him personally.
Okay, so let's move on over to WWE.
Can we talk more about Jeff Hardy?
Oh, it's okay. Look, sure,
I just want to bring him up.
I mean, honestly, he didn't save Matt quick enough.
I know. I just wanted to pull up the graphic of the
I'm sorry. Jeff Hardy, yes.
I don't know.
Again, the worst kept secret in wrestling ever. Jeff Hardy is All Elite.
He danced his way while Matt was getting beat.
I watched that GIF so many times. I have no idea why. It was just peak hilarity to me. It was like,
you know what? It adds up.
Oh, you're Jeff Hardy. And the fact that he sped up the dance a little bit too. It was funny.
He had to get hyped. It was like he's stretching a little bit, you know?
And I like some how people were comparing it to
because that's what younger siblings do. Younger siblings play a lot.
Yeah, but Matt got like choked out with a chair for about 2 minutes straight. So
right,
I don't know if he's okay, but no, it was also, I just wanted to mention the fact that in this segment, other than Jeff's run in, like the fact that before Jeff ran in, Sting and Darby Allin ran in. And so, there was like a little bit of a moment where Jeff and Darby were like looking at each other, kind of like, because that's going to be an insane match whenever they have it. But also Jeff has his history with Sting and it was Victory Road. Probably like 10 years ago at this point, but yeah, Jeff kind of being in a messed up state back then. I'm glad that he I'm glad, like, it's nice to see him in there with Sting, who kind of knows that history, and I'm sure is like, Jeff, you better not F this up, or you know, Matt obviously, who has his back and wants him to do well. So I don't know, let's hope that things are on a good track with Jeff and Matt, and I don't know what I'm excited about this though.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everybody loves Jeff Hardy, so.
And the freaking theme song, like, what?
Right, you did say that. Like, how? So is that their like legit theme?
Yeah, that's their legit theme, and it's not owned by WWE. And it's like you've heard that song, like the boo doo 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 doo,
yeah,
like on other shows and commercials. Like over the years, I've heard it, and I'm like, how? Why are they using the Hardy Boys theme song in this commercial for like Stack or Two or whatever it is? That's a reference. Yeah. But yeah, like that. That's it, and WWE didn't own it. So.
Right, but that's he did have to. They crazy. Said that he did have to contact Vince to let him know that they're to get the song or whatever. So you can tell, like these billionaires, they still engage with one another.
I mean, yeah, who else are you?
Not
talk
like
to
a war wars. Yeah, like hey, I need the song for the Hardy Boys. Can you give it to me so I can? Sure, I don't care.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's but you know what? Like between that and the CM Punk AFI song that he used to use back in the day from that we were just talking about before. Like,
yeah,
I'm glad that they have an appreciation for the theme songs in AEW. It's nice because it's like it does matter. And everyone freaked out hearing it.
And Darby looked like he wanted to cry seeing Jeff Hardy on stage. Yeah. It's just like, oh, my God. My hero.
Yeah. Same.
Okay.
And Isaiah Kennedy too. They all look like everybody that you feel like has like a Jeff influence. Mm-hmm. They just look like they wanted to cry. Like they was in, oh my God, it's Jeff Hardy.
It's insane though, because he's been, I know we're talking about him a lot, but he's so iconic. And you know what? Like, the fact that there are people who've been inspired by Jeff Hardy, who've literally had full ass careers and have retired already, says a lot about how long he's been around. And I remember when we were at Survivor Series and saw him, Mari, and I turned to you and I was like, it makes me uncomfortable watching him because I don't know how this man is still alive or doing any of this. And then he was shortly after that released, of course, but and that he's back now. He's not human, so good for him. I want whatever he's having.
Yeah. No, I mean,
he doesn't age at all.
Yes.
I'll take
it's the fact that we all did the same thing when he's there.
I'm like, wait, what?
What he's
like the vitamins,
like,
I mean. The vitamins.
That dosage. Nah. Let's move on over to WWE.
Oh.
I know, look at me. I'm all over the place. I think the like main thing I really want to talk about on Raw, which I feel like the episode was kind of built around, was the really good tag team match on Raw with Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, RK Bros, and Alpha Academy. It started, I think it opened with like the Kevin Owens show, and then we got that tag match. It was great. I mean, for a company that clearly hates tag team wrestling, that match was amazing. Yeah. Kiki, what did you think?
I love that tag match. And it's the tag match that we've been wanting. Like, because of course we like seeing New Day and Usos all the time, but you know, we see it all the time, but I don't get enough of it. Like, I always like to, I enjoy it because New Day is one of my favorite tag teams.
Yeah.
But, like different tag matches, like that's the tag matches that we haven't seen in WWE in a long time. Like,
yes,
when is the last time they had a good tag division since the Big Three, Hardy, Dudley?
Yeah, and, right. Yeah,
and Edge and Christian.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we were saying last week. We were like, I love the New Day and the Usos. I'm tired of seeing it. And if they pump it up, I'll be tired of seeing it, but the minute they step in the ring, I'm all in. But like, Matt, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I wasn't that excited about it. I mean, okay, we got the match. We saw the titles change. Orton and Riddle are champions. They're going into Mania with that. Whatever, all good. There was that RKO with Chad Gable doing like the moonsault into the RKO, which was just clean. And then everyone's having the conversation of like, was that the best RKO ever? Which like No, it wasn't, but whatever. We'll take the conversation. And then everything with Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins for me was kind of like, it was, I love them both. I love them both individually. I think it's weird the way that they kind of led into that, like the Kevin Owens, Steve Austin stuff. That to me was just kind of random. So I don't know. I feel like, you know, there's like, it's, I just wasn't that impressed with Raw this week or excited about Raw this week. I like that it was centered around like Seth and KO, but like it's just sad because like we're probably 3 weeks from WrestleMania right now.
And
I think I just have that sour taste in my mouth. Like, couldn't we have started building this like months ago? Could we have like some inspired story that's not just like, okay, I didn't win the tag championship, so my backup plan is fighting Stone Cold Steve Austin? Like, what?
Yeah.
What world does that make sense?
The funny thing is,
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the funny thing is, if anything, the segue to the Stone Cold thing made more sense to me than taking the belts off of Otis and Gable WrestleMania. What pisses me off more, because like we were talking about last week, it's like when you keep doing these title changes right before WrestleMania, it just makes you think that it won't happen at WrestleMania. Or if it does, that the stakes aren't as high. Yeah. So, yeah. I like that because we got weeks and weeks of Kevin and Seth saying like, we need to be in WrestleMania. We got to be involved in WrestleMania. And this is, we're clearly just teaming up because this is our avenue to get to WrestleMania. So that made sense to me. So the minute that Kevin comes out and is like, you know, that I can't do it that way. So he goes into that promo, which was amazing. I'm sorry, Kiki. I don't know if you like this. He dragged the whole entire state of Texas.
Yeah. How did that feel? How did you feel about the
I just
Texas
can't wait
dragon?
Till he gets stunned, because I mean, we know our governor, we don't want to talk about that.
I was gonna say, maybe you're gonna, I don't know, you might get, look, I'm just saying, if you have the chance to stun him, do it. If Austin doesn't do it, we need you to do it. Just get in there, run, be one of those fans who runs in.
Please don't.
And just
but y'all, I feel so bad for Seth though. He has nothing.
The thing too, because there was a segment, and I don't even know if this video is on, I'm sure it's on WWE's YouTube because everything is, but they had a backstage segment where I think he was being interviewed like, Seth, how does it feel? How do you feel about your chances of WrestleMania going away? And he was just broken. He like broken Seth Rollins. And so I mean, I don't know if that's going to lead to something with him and Cody or what, but like, he's obviously going to be on WrestleMania because he's Seth.
So you think Cody's going to show up at WrestleMania?
I have no clue what they're going
to
do.
That would be funny. It's crazy how people used to call Cody so many, like, he's just mid-card, but then they're still anticipating him to be in WWE. It's crazy.
Yeah.
My journey with Cody has been very interesting because I'm a huge fan of him in WWE. Dashing Cody Rhodes, I thought he pulled off Stardust pretty well too. That was just me. I know I'm in the minority, but I thought he did a really good job of Stardust. I think he characterized the character really well. They booked him horrendously. So I've been a fan of Cody, you know, and then it's just, you know, over the AEW stuff and then him and Brandy just constantly putting their foots in their mouths, you know, it doesn't matter. If he is coming to WWE, I'll watch it. I'm watching it so I'll see what happens.
I want Brandy.
I know social media will be in flames once he goes to WWE. It's gonna be too funny.
Do you want Brandy in WWE cutting the promos that she was cutting in AEW on people in WWE?
They from what I've heard, they already let it be known they don't want her there.
That that's not the plan.
Yeah, they're not interested in her. They interested in Cody.
That's what it is. And you know what? Respect their decisions, right?
Yeah.
In this case,
I do not like Brandi Rhodes' promos. I have said really? That many a time. But I will say, yeah. I have clipped that who told you this is open mic night portion of that video.
When she came out with that, I was just like, let me get my wine, because she's about to she about to do it again. We already, we dealt with the Heffa promo. Like, we just got over the Heffa promo, and then you come back with the, you a black belt, well, I'm a black.
You don't have to do all that. She doesn't have to do all that.
I cannot.
But you know, every time, the fact that she had a baby between that promo with Jade, which was, I guess, that was November 2019. And then,
was it
2020. Wait.
Yeah, it was
early 2020. November
2020.
November 2020. And then, like, somehow she had a baby. And then she was back cutting more promos.
Calling herself.
Yeah, I don't know how. Look, she knows how to make an impression. And you know what? You have to put her in the Hall of Fame.
Either way. Yes. You're right. Yeah, Kiki, again, we as an audience are fickle. Fickle, as Bryan Danielson will say. So I'm not surprised if people are clamoring for Cody or whatnot. Seth has to, like Matt said, they'll find a place for him. The problem is there's 3 weeks, and then it's like, is anybody even excited about it?
Remember the good old days when they had stories set up by Royal Rumble, and then they just...
Yeah.
The good old days.
Technically...
Maybe you have to be there.
I was going to say, maybe we're all just old, and like we're stuck in our ways. The kids these days don't even... Maybe they don't even care about storylines. They're just like, give me the
match.
I don't think they do either. Yeah,
I don't know. Truly the under. It's honestly the undercard though, because like Brock and Roman has actually been building for 4 or 5 months now. Becky and Bianca have been building for 6 months now. So if you want to get technical, which I don't care, Charlotte and Ronda have been built for 3 years now.
But that's the thing, they only build around
their champions,
like certain people, their money makers, and then they used to be able to do it for like, because the mid card is still your bread and butter, because they still, you know, before you even get to the top stars, you still have to please the fans with your mid card.
And they
used to do that. They used to do that, and they lost their way.
Attitude era, they were, not that I was watching in real time, but I've always like looked back on it. And I know there's a lot you could say even about like the quality of wrestling in those days, looking back, and the fact that a lot of people were wearing their jean shorts and things like that. And I'm not talking about Austin, but like, you know, like Midian or whoever, like just all these other people on the card. But they really gave people stories like up and down the card. And I miss it.
Especially for the IC titles. They used to give the IC matches great stories. Like,
that was a huge
tag
title.
Matches, great stories.
Yeah.
Now, even the European, even though they don't have that no more, great stories. Now it's just like, okay, you wrestle, but we're going to script writers focus on Roman, focus on this person, focus on Charlotte.
Yeah.
We want, you know, it just take away from everything. Like, y'all are strong. Like, it's what Kenny Omega has said before on his interviews. Like, each promotion brings something different, what makes them, you know, still what they are. And he always say WWE always been great with storytelling. Just, you know, and now they're not as great with storytelling like they once were. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think because Vince made all his money that he needs to make, he just don't care anymore. So
probably. Yeah. And you know, we are actively on the show talking about having diversity in the writing rooms and how you can tell the minute it lacks all of that. So I agree. But I don't mind this. Like, I don't mind Kevin Owens. They're having a KO show at WrestleMania. So we don't know. We don't know if it's a match. Matt, remind me, Stone Cold said he wanted one last run. Is that what we reported a few weeks ago? Or
here's my thing with Stone Cold. Like, I don't know. I just don't care about Stone Cold these days. You know, I'm just like,
said that, yeah.
We've talked about him. We've talked about him a little bit. And you know what? He's great. Maybe he'll put on a good match, whatever. Like, I'm just like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I want them to give him a cinematic match. And maybe they like pre-film it and make it really awesome.
Out in the Texas desert or something.
In the Texas desert.
Like how they did Undertaker and AJ Styles.
Yeah,
that would be nice to see.
That would be great.
Other than that, the thing that kind of sucks is that as wrestling fans, we're constantly anticipating what's going to happen. And like the things that we could come up with, they'll never be able to live up to like what we want them to do. So that's my only thing. I don't like for us to be disappointed. And it's funny because like with the whole Lita stuff in the last couple of months, which I loved, like I was shocked that they were doing it. And then I was shocked that it went so well and it was so well executed, like even her promos and then the match and with Becky, like that to me was awesome. But with this, I think the expectations might be a little too high. So hopefully I'm sure it'll be good. It's two really awesome people, but yeah. And I don't know about what he said about that last match to actually answer your question, Mari. I think he just was talking about how he has like a hunger for like
he brought the rattlesnake out or something.
Oh,
it was something to that. Yeah. So I don't know he probably gonna end up stunning him.
That's what everybody's expecting. It's like come in, talk a little bit, and stun them. So we'll see. Either way, that's why I asked. I'm like, is this going to lead to something down the line? But I guess we'll see. And no matter what, KO can do no wrong in my eyes. I love him even when he's a heel. At the moment he called out Shawn Michaels and then said, you know, I will never have you on my show because of Bret the Hitman Hart. I was like, thank you.
Wow.
I am Team Bret.
I'm Team Shawn.
I mean,
it happens. It happens.
Does it?
Matt is Team both of them?
No, I mean, I'm Team... look, if I had to choose, you don't have to choose sides. I'm not going to play that.
There we go.
I was about to, too, but no.
So we got a little bit, speaking of like tag matches and stuff. So this was kind of interesting. I mean, I'm interested. It just, to Kiki's point, it just feels like they're throwing stuff at the wall here, though. Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan were added to the women's tag team match at WrestleMania because they beat Queen Zelina and Carmella. So, everything around this, I like what they're doing, but again, it's just kind of like it's just more people to get on the card. And I think I said last week that like I truly don't mind it. I don't mind getting as many people on the card as much as possible. And like I said, this all tracked. But I'm very surprised that Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley are teaming together because from what I understood, like Liv didn't want to be in a tag team anymore. But I don't think I think this will be short lived. I don't think it's like anything that'll stay.
No, they'll probably do a long term. I don't, you know.
I think they're just adding Liv and Rhea to this match to build Rhea. I think they're building Rhea because I think we're going to get Rhea versus Bianca if Bianca beats Becky for the title. I think that I feel like that's going to be her first challenger.
That's fair.
I don't know.
I mean, I will say.
I mean, Matt. Rhea was a champion. They didn't really necessarily have to build her. They just didn't book her right.
Exactly.
Kiki, let's not, because Lord knows I have beaten the drum about how they have massively underbooked Rhea and have turned me into a Rhea fan just because I hate her booking.
Like, wow.
Like that's literally over the course of a whole year, I am now rooting for her just because I'm like, can she get a win? Can y'all give this woman a win?
You know what? Nowadays, like, I mean, we'll definitely talk about stuff that we don't like if we want to talk about it. But like, for the weeks and weeks and weeks and months that we talked about that feud every week between Charlotte and Cross and then ASH and Rhea, like that was all a mess. I don't even, it makes me so sad to think about it too.
I don't know who said it, but they said that they feel like it's kind of going back to the Divas era, the way that they've been booking these women in the WWE.
I had it's funny because I had that. I don't know. What
I think in NXT, that's what they're doing.
Oh, definitely.
That's what they're doing in NXT.
And then there's like some car. You know what? They're kind of getting comfortable. Okay, there's a lot of stuff going on here. So one is like they keep going like up and down in terms of how much they're featuring the women.
Yeah.
In recent times. So sometimes it'll be like, oh, they're doing like the Sasha Bianca stuff last year was great. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like they, even though Ronda's there, like they've cooled off a little bit with this, though.
Well, they technically haven't. They're pushing her. They're giving Ronda and Charlotte time.
That's a money maker.
Are they giving them the main event?
I don't like it. Personally.
Are they giving them the main event?
I don't know.
Probably.
I can't remember.
More than likely.
More than likely. For Saturday.
Good for them.
Because they're on Saturday. Yeah. So yeah, most likely because Brock has the title and he's going to be on Sunday. So yeah, that makes sense.
You have the match card there a little bit, Matt, right? The proposed
look,
match.
I'll look. Card. Yeah, I'm going to look at it and kind of maybe read off some of what's on there.
Me,
but I was just going to ask, like, before you go, Marty, like,
the main event.
Like, Kiki, could you talk about that? Like, what you said about it kind of going back to the Divas era. Like, what elements of that do you think? Because that's a really interesting point. Like,
well, I don't.
You heard it.
Yeah, that's what I don't know. Yeah. I don't know which wrestler said it that was let go recently.
Somebody did say that, yes.
Mm-hmm. But she was just saying, like, backstage, as far as like the writing and things, she was just like, she felt like they was kind of alluding as if the women's. Is kind of going back to the Divas era as far as WWE, like certain things that they wanted them to do now and stuff like that. Yeah. It's just kind of like they fought so hard to kind of get out of that element and you're kind of going right back to it. And then it also leads up to, you know, the mindset of how they view women superstars in general. Like they're not viewed as actual athletes anymore. They still, you know, they kind of rode that women empowerment wave. And now that it died down, they're going right back to how they used to be with the women's division.
Somebody did say that. I can't remember who it was who got let go, who said that, but I still completely disagree because they just gave Naomi and Charlotte 30 minutes on SmackDown a month ago to like, tear the house down. You know what I'm saying? That's something that would the Divas era when people, I think people will start to misremember what the Divas era truly was. They forget that, it was populated by a lot of women who could not wrestle, who stood around and were models, but there were also the workers there that were working, but then they were limited to work, you know, what they could do. I don't think that any of the current women's roster are limited to what they can do. I think they're limited to time. And we've talked about it on this, on here about how like Bianca Belair, a few weeks ago, she was getting like just 2 and 3 minute matches, like every Raw. And as much as I don't want to see 2 or 3 minute matches, I think it was before the Rumble or sometime after the Rumble to build her up. But also to give the live audience a pop. You know what I'm saying? So that the live audience goes home happy. Like, and WWE is consistently having like 3 women segments on a show. Like they were these last 2 weeks. It hasn't been as much, but they were consistently having multiple women's matches on, you know what I'm saying? NXT. Right. If anybody is going back to the Divas era, it's definitely NXT and they're using it to their advantage to create heels for the women. Yeah. And they're still getting more segments than anybody could have imagined. So I feel like I get the criticism, but I also think like, I think people are relying on their like era.
It's still kind of unfairly booked in a way because they still rely on their moneymakers, which is Charlotte, Ronda, and Becky. Even though Sasha is still part of the four horsemen, but they still book her as if she's not, you know what I'm saying? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
No,
because right now, to like kind of go back to something you referenced a few minutes ago, Mari, like I'm looking at this is like the Wikipedia version of the card from not even. So maybe this is a little different today. This is not official, but just pointing it out that the matches that are on the card, Charlotte versus Ronda, Becky versus Bianca, Rey and Dominic versus Miz and Logan Paul, Drew versus Happy Corbin, which I'm like, we don't need that on the card, at least yet. Like, that could be a last minute match. So anyway, Brock versus Roman, Queen, and then the women's tag match, Johnny Knoxville, Sami Zayn, Pat McAfee, Austin Theory, Edge versus AJ Styles. Like, to me, I'm looking at this and I do think it's kind of criminal that they have that. I think the women's tag team match is kind of criminal. Like, Naomi and Sasha are awesome and we love them together and reunited, but like, give them a build, give them story. Sasha and Naomi are, and actually all these women are so talented, but like,
I think that's where they dropped the ball. I
like
thought
going
we were
from
getting,
main event to that for Sasha, feels weird.
I don't even like the main event thing aside. I thought we were getting Naomi versus Sonya at WrestleMania.
That's
like,
what I thought too.
Naomi versus Sonya at WrestleMania should be replacing Happy Corbin versus Drew McIntyre, but it will never replace that because they feel like Drew McIntyre is the next one up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So putting Sasha and Naomi in a tag team, it sucks because we've only had 2 weeks build. But and mostly because Sasha, you know, Ronda, we all know Ronda took Sasha's spot. Let's be real. Like, that was going into WrestleMania. They were building a Charlotte versus Sasha feud, very small, but they were building it while they were building Becky versus Bianca.
And there was a little bit of like the injury thing too with Sasha that maybe affected how much we, because she was injured in early January. So like, January, we didn't get. You know, we never know what they would have done leading up to the Rumble with Sasha and Charlotte, right?
Yeah. So it was a lot. In that case, an injury may have completely just changed the trajectory of what the women were supposed to do this year. So it sucks. It truly does suck. I don't understand why we cannot get just a regular women's match that doesn't need to be linked to a title when we have all these, like, these crappy men's ones. You know, we said that every year. But like, I was like, just kind of getting back to the women's tag match here on Raw, I do like that they are also building. If you're going to do this for a reason and you're going to give it a little bit of backstory, I like that the backstory is they lost because Carmella was too busy flirting with Corey. I know it's just a cheap paid advertisement for Corey and Carmella, but at least it makes sense as to why they lost. You know what I'm saying? For them to be the champions and for Zelina to be like, girl, what is going on right now? And I like the story that they're building, that Carmella is so into her wedding and preparation for her wedding that it's causing them to lose. Like, so I don't mind it. I truly don't. And get as many women on the card as possible, but we're Kiki, Matt, y'all are both very right in the sense of the stories are lacking for WrestleMania. They truly are lacking, and it will be up to the performers themselves to try and save it on that day.
Like, around this time, it's very telling, because around this time you will see like most of their seats being sold, and they still haven't sold as much seats yet. You know, and you still have people deciding, okay, do I want to go to Saturday or do I want to go to Sunday? I don't, because the card is so bad.
Look. Yeah. But you know what? I will say, Kiki, just, you know, we have the greatest wrestling match of all time.
Yeah, I'm going Sunday.
When Brock Lesnar, the greatest match of all. Didn't they just have the greatest match ever between Edge and Randy Orton a couple of years ago? I don't know.
Approximately 2 years ago.
They're not calling it the greatest match of all time. It's like the biggest. Is it the biggest WrestleMania main event of all time?
I don't know. It don't make none of it makes any sense. I don't care. But I mean, I don't care what they're calling it, but I do like the build here. I like that they reviewed like the Madison Square Garden beatdown that Brock received from the Bloodline.
He was bleeding.
Yeah.
Are
they supposed to fight next week?
I don't think so.
I saw like WWE advertised the poster saying Brock and Roman next Friday, but it's not a contract signing. So I don't know. are they supposed to be like a match before the? I don't know.
Questions.
This I have no clue. That's a great question.
I feel like they're no. I what? I
they can't. I mean, they wouldn't do it the week before. They have to do something though. She's right. They have to do something. Maybe it's just a face off since Roman wasn't there this week. Maybe it's
I don't remember. So they get a pull apart. I don't remember what they teased, so I'm like looking now.
Do you guys think, I mean, just a recap, Paul Heyman came out because Brock was calling out Roman, but Roman wasn't there. Brock chased Paul Heyman. That was hilarious. It was so funny. But like, I think this match might get a stipulation. Do y'all think this match is going to get a stipulation? I mean, Brock was mad. Mm-hmm. He's like, you don't make me bleed. Make me bleed my blood on my blood on my bleeding day. You better not do that. So I could imagine this turning to a street fight, last man standing, something to that effect.
Because Brock already said he doesn't really care about winning neither title. That's why I'm just why have him? I don't know.
That's such a good point too, because like if he doesn't care, then why should I care?
Why should I care? And,
exactly.
Like, it's almost better when you have, like, I don't care who it is, but just have the person who wants it most holding it, because then, like, they have respect for the championship. We have.
They could have had Drew McIntyre back in the picture.
They could have had whoever. They could have had, I'm even, like, building new stars is a whole other
conversation. Exactly.
Who knows where this is going?
Brock and Roman, how many times has it been? Like,
like 10 times.
It feels like 10 times.
It feels like forever.
It does. I do like the new alignment, though. I love that. Brock is working face. So people tell me. Sure, yeah. Whatever. I know he is, but you know, he's not my face. That's not my face.
Right. That's how I feel too.
Yeah, and you know what, it makes me uncomfortable sometimes too, a little bit, like I don't know what it is, it's just the vibe throws me off a little bit. But no, you're right. So next week that's so funny, this graphic they have, but basically next week Brock and Roman collide.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, is that a match?
Nah, I'm telling you, it's just a face-to-face stare down, and it's gonna be like 20 people
breaking it up, and then they're gonna
rumble through the back, and then other wrestlers are gonna come out.
You know what, they had Brock like destroying, like, who did he beat up? He beat up like Los Lotharios, Angel Garza, and
what was that?
Like this, I don't know. There was like a SmackDown where Brock was freaking out and he beat up half the roster, and then I think like Cesaro came out. And like he was that like, calm down, Brock. And then that's when Brock stopped her. I don't even know what it was, but it was something weird like that. But
Cesaro said, "Hey, big guy, sun's getting real low."
No, I'm done. Right? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think that's what it's gonna be. And then I think they'll get. I'm feeling a stipulation, y'all. I'm feeling a stipulation down in my bones.
Oh,
my bones. I was about to say something. Never mind.
Were you gonna say?
Nope. No, not one.
Okay, I was like, I don't want to say it. God. You know what? Kiki, just so you know, by the way, there is a Twitter account. It's called RHAP Out of Context. They like to post quotes from us out of context. And so just know that might happen. but yeah, no, this, I don't know if they'll have a stipulation. I don't know how much that matters. I just want to say Brock Lesnar scares me. Like the way that he threw those security guards, thankfully WWE had a photographer taking pictures. But he threw guards, two grown men, like, you launched them back through a table.
Wow.
I don't know how close they were to that table.
They almost Brock missed
is
it.
Brock is a terrifying human being. They went through the table. They went.
Especially since he's all happy, Brock, too. It makes you scary. Like,
oh, wait, I'm going to zoom in on this image, but there's someone in the background of this who's like jaw is drop. I don't know what. Hold on. Let's see if this will. Oh, wait. I'll see if I can make this work. But there we over in the corner of this picture. Yeah. You see this?
I don't know if that's a jaw.
That's me.
I'm assuming that's their jaw. Or maybe that's just their face.
Like a headset on or something. Look at me. I'm all close.
Even closer.
I don't know.
Is that Becky Lynch?
Is that Stephanie?
I don't know. Is it maybe it's I don't know.
Watch it be like a ghost. Like you found a ghost in the
ghosts in the arena. Ghost but yeah, arena. No, it was a little scary. So yeah. Look, I'm Brock is the most legit wrestler I've ever seen. I'm terrified. Heyman, very funny runner.
The run, it's hilarious. It's a waddle.
I was scared he was gonna fall. Yeah. I was scared he was gonna trip or something. I was like, please don't trip.
I'm glad the car that he rode off in was right there because I was like, this man can't keep going for this much longer. But
it kind of makes you think how close the
yeah, like what? The ramp is right next to the parking lot.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Let's take a quick ad break and we'll be
too back. Much fun. Yeah.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. So this is where I will defend my position of liking NXT 2.0. In my opinion, NXT 2.0 is the best all-around product that WWE has. Like, I truly do believe that. Just from, like, character perspectives to the in-ring product, it really is their only product that I watch live. Like, everything else, I wait and I just DVR through it. Because I truly feel like 2.0 packs so much into the 2 hours. I'm like, this is only a 2 hour show. How do y'all get all of this in here? The biggest news from NXT 2.0, I don't know if we jinxed him or not, Matt, but Bron Breakker lost the NXT championship.
Shocker.
Ziggler. I mean,
I love them.
I yes. love this yeah. too, by the way. The more I yes. think about it.
Wow. In a really good match.
There's a lot of emotion going on here for me. I'm struggling with this one. So a couple of things. One, why I'm laughing is because the damn the finishing sequence involved Bron Breakker having his tights ripped off halfway to the point where they had to pixelate like his butt on WWE's YouTube. So
nice.
That's unfortunate. But I actually love this too, because the fact that Bobby Roode was there, was NXT champion, and he helped his tag team partner become NXT champion, to me is like a little bit poetic. I know that they weren't going, I don't think that they were really thinking about that long-term storytelling. Who knows? But I appreciate that at least. And Dolph Ziggler is really good. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's probably not going to have that championship for long, but maybe that's the point.
He joins the ranks of like the first people to ever challenge for that NXT championship and win on like their first time. But he's been in a WWE championship match like 11 times and has never won that or something like that. Like, yeah. So this was really interesting. Kiki, did you get to watch this?
I didn't get to watch, but I saw clips. But yeah. What I was saying, because people was kind of upset that he won. I was just like, I feel like Bron is going to go to the main card. Vince sees something in him. Of course, he's a Steiner, so he's a superstar natural athlete anyway. So
I agree. But we said it last week. I just don't. When you rush them up like that, like. He has only been wrestling for a year. He started in February of last year, from what we understand. And he is great. Yeah. He is a natural. He has been the NXT champion for just 2 or 3 months. But like I've been saying, I feel like he's been overshadowed by Carmelo. Carmelo, he's That's the A champion. I believe it. When Melo says he's the A champion, I completely believe it. And I think Bron is great. So WWE has not learned their lesson from rushing people up. Nia Jax, some would argue Ridge Holland.
I mean, you see how, what's the name, injured Big E.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It's just like taking people, my famous example is Dana Brooke. Like when you take people out of that performance center where they can literally train every day, get better, look so great because they're training, they're constantly working on their craft, to pulling them and putting them on the road where their main focus is to get from city to city and not necessarily to work on their craft. That's when you run into problems, when those people are green or when those people are just like, you know, not used to it. And it's just, I don't know. I really feel like they should not bring him up this soon, but WWE will do what they're going to do.
You know what, though? This is kind of where it bothers me, because they could really like build in that hardcore fan. They could build up Bron in NXT 2.0 with like some hardcore fan support, or, you know, the fans who watch NXT obviously are also watching WWE.
Yeah.
And so like build him up that way. And then when he's on the main roster, like he gets that big pop when he shows up. They could do so much more with him. So I don't. You know what? I'm tired of trying to even like process it or think about like, why do they do it this way? Because it just doesn't. They could do it so many different ways. They WWE is going to WWE.
But this is a great match. I love the back and forth and all of the countering and all that stuff. It was a complete shock. I'm like, okay, Dolph has the title. What's going to happen? I kind of like Ciampa making, and maybe it's the story that they're being told, that they're telling us, but Ciampa making Bron seem even more inexperienced than he is. So, you know, maybe I'm buying too much into that, but it was good. And I want to see where this goes, because I love that Tommaso is like kind of like supposed to be the protector of NXT, even if he's the champion or not.
Yeah.
But now an outsider and Dolph Ziggler came and took the championship. And Melo tweeted like, dang, Bron, not to an outsider. And then he said something like, couldn't be me. Something like that.
I mean, let's hope not.
Oh my gosh. So it was so interesting and so crazy. So I can't wait to see where that really, really goes, especially for Stand and Deliver, which will be Saturday morning. It's going to be like 11 a.m. Eastern time on Saturday morning before the first night of WrestleMania. Like,
I
didn't have
that.
Brunch to go to or anything like that.
We joked about that. But you know what? I'm not mad. Like, I like a nice... If they did it like 8 a.m., 9 a.m., that'd be even better for me. I would just... I'm a morning person, so you just move WrestleMania.
We don't want to do that.
Exactly. Thank you. Boo this man.
9 a.m. Wake up in bed. WrestleMania. I would love to see them wrestling, like just waking up, like half them yawning probably.
So we have to get into there are so many great segments in NXT 2.0, like so many, and so many really good intersecting storylines. Like I could have put Persia Parada versus Indy Hartwell like falling apart on here. I wouldn't have put on here the stuff with Mandy Rose and the BBC.
I don't want to talk. Well, never mind. This is a family show.
This is Malik and Idris have been showing their butts trying to impress Mandy Rose.
And you can't blame them.
Right. But we got to talk about Nikita Lyons.
I'm not going to do. What do you want to talk about with her?
She was on Lashing Out with Lash Legend.
Where might we know Nikita Lyon from these last few weeks, Mari?
I mean, well, she trends every time she's on Twitter because of this pin. Do you have it?
For obvious reasons.
If you are looking at her YouTube. If you're looking at our YouTube, Nikita Lyons is in a match about a week or two ago. She pinned, I don't even know who that is. Maybe I should not be looking that closely, but
I don't think that's Amari Miller.
Is it a jobber? No, it is Amari Miller, I think.
Okay. It looks like Amari Miller.
I cannot tell.
I'm not going to zoom in.
I know. And her backside is all in Amari Miller's face. Of course, and it's trends.
Right. I will say too, it's hilarious to me because on my Instagram, like not only that week, but like the week after, and I think maybe even the week after that, like almost like an inappropriate amount of time for WWE to reference the clip. They probably posted that clip again today.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's the first time we've seen the split.
The men's are thirsting.
But this was a little
bit. Extremely.
Yeah.
Wild. Yeah. It was extremely wild when that picture came out.
IWC was thirsting. And so last week, Lash Legend was in a match, I think with Amari Miller as well, beat her up and then spoke to the cameras, like called Nikita out. So this week, Lash had her on Lashing Out with Lash Legend. And I think I was just talking about a few weeks ago, like why they stopped Lashing Out with Lash Legend because it was so great. But I think it was because, you know, she turned heel or whatever. But now she had Nikita on Lashing Out and it was funny from the moment she's like, okay, so here's a girl who thinks she's all that. Here's Nikita. Nikita comes out, the crowd is clapping. She's like, all right, no more clapping. I was like, yes.
I wrote down what she said.
Yeah.
Cause like the thing is Lash Legend went right into the point. That's the thing. Yeah. This segment to me, and actually like the other segments that we're going to talk about, they need like Freddie Prinze Jr. or someone to show up in NXT to help them with their acting, because like this was a little off, but I will say Lash went and said, your dad was a rock star and your mom was a groupie. Was she following everyone around or was she following everyone around? Was she everyone's groupie? Like what? Why are you going to ask about her mom being a groupie? Also, was her mom a groupie?
I mean, well, Nikita said her mom was a free spirit and she taught her not to judge people.
Yeah, that's not like what you say in response when someone calls, like, what you say is you put your fist in their face.
Somebody backstage wants to, let's talk about her mom because I know her. Hold on.
I'm like looking this up because I'm like, who is this like a real thing?
Can we just start with the acting? And this is why I like NXT 2.0, because I really feel like it doesn't take itself too seriously. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I like about it. And I think to me, it's camp. Like, it is just total camp because the acting is bad in all of it. And it's just like, but it's that so bad it's good type of way. Like, and that's just me. Maybe that's just
it's like fun and relieving. Like, you don't have to be such structured. It's just, they just having fun with it.
Right. It's just like this is clearly like a Wendy Williams interview, but like this is if Wendy actually like said some messed up stuff to the guest. Yeah. And I love when Nikita was like, Lash Legend called Nikita, she said those butt implants, implying that Nikita's rear end was fake. Nikita said, ain't nothing fake about me except for this spray tan and these nails.
You don't need to expose yourself like that, Nikita.
It was so, I love that. I just thought this was hilarious.
You know what?
I personally love
it. It gives you a Real Housewives vibe.
Yes. I am a fan of some of that trash TV, not all of it, but I am a fan of the Love and Hip Hops of the world. No, just a little bit of the Love and Hip Hops. And I thought that's what it gave. And that's what I like about that's why I kind of pulled these three segments we're going to talk about specifically, because I feel like this is something that has not been done in wrestling in this fashion. It feels like these people were able to bring their culture to these segments and say, this is how I want to present my character. And so we're getting Nikita versus Lash next week in a match that, I mean, these are two like really tall, like thick built women. I can't wait. Like, what's the equivalent for women for like big meaty men?
Big
like,
meaty where's big men E? Slapping meats.
Yeah, what's the equivalent for that? Because that's what
big
this
women
is
slapping.
Yams.
I don't know.
Somebody said they should tag team and be called the Yams.
The Yams. Oh no. You know what? No, it could be big meaty women slapping meats. That works too.
No,
gender equality.
Thicky thighs. Slapping lives.
Thick with two C's.
Ooh.
Okay.
And I know that's what we mean when we talk about going back to the Divas era, except we didn't get this in the Divas era.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I still feel like it's individualized. Kiki, as somebody who I know does not watch or does not enjoy NXT 2.0 as much as I do, what was your perspective as like an outsider?
I won't say that I don't enjoy it. It's just still kind of fairly new. And, I'm being open about it. So I'm giving it a chance a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was fun to watch because I like looking at those reality shows. So it fit right in. So I wasn't too like, you know, but I did like when she said, you and your BB.
What did she
do? She called her out. Like, she
I like that.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm so confused though. Sorry. I am literally like scrolling through like bio websites about her life right now because I'm just trying to figure out.
It might be kayfabe, Matt.
No, you know what?
Just leave it at that.
You think they got me this time?
They might have. I don't know.
Here's what I'll say. There's a picture that I found of her. Look, you go on the internet. There's so much about her family. I'm just going to look there. I don't know why there's a picture of her parents together. I wish I could like scroll in easily. What? Who are these?
That's a lot of hair.
He's a rock star.
That is true.
Look at that. So, we'll never know.
Looks like she was right.
That she got his chin.
Yeah, that spray tan was fake. So I like this segment. I thought it felt like authentic to the character that is Lash Legend. And speaking of which, I love this barbershop segment with Carmelo and Trick Williams. I was about to say, when did we get a barbershop segment like this? I mean, we did, you know, what's his face did have a barbershop.
Michaels, Mari Jannetty.
I know. Beefcake. But that was a little pull the. That was they barbershop. That was hashtag they barbershop.
That was
like you could tell that was Shawn Michaels' idea too.
Yeah.
You could tell that was Shawn.
You just didn't know what they were gonna get from that. Who's the barber?
Beefcake, the bar. What's in his?
He's Brutus barbershop. The barber. Yeah. Beefcake.
Brutus the barber. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was Carmelo and Trick's barbershop, and I love this. They shot it like how LeBron has the shop on HBO, and of course they got all of their. You couldn't even get a picture. No,
they don't even have.
They didn't have a picture. Look. Yeah,
I would have to screenshot and then upload, and it's just too much.
Okay. But they shot it like in the shop with LeBron, and you know the cultural significance to the barbershop for Black men is very understated here. So, but I loved it. They had some of the recruits, like people. The other Black men in there were actual like WWE recruits, like other indie wrestlers. So people were popping really hard for seeing some of the wrestlers that they know that they can't wait for them to get some more shine on NXT in there. But I just love this segment. I love how like they're going over Carmelo's victories and Carmelo saying, you know, he wants to defend the North American Championship at Stand and Deliver in a ladder match, just like how it was introduced. And again, I think this has a soft spot for my heart because I was there at that stand and deliver where, well, Ooh. Takeover, sorry, oh. the yeah. takeover where it, that belt was introduced and we in person and we saw that ladder match. It was one of the greatest ladder matches I've ever seen in my entire life. I still have video of it on my phone. And where Adam Cole, yeah, won, that was the inaugural champion, if I remember correctly. And I, that was, that is still, again, I think with the Women's Rumble, it is probably my favorite match that I've seen live. And so him referencing just the short lineage of the belt and wanting to face like at least four competitors, they kept throwing out numbers, four competitors showing yeah. that he's a, like a fighting champion. He's the A champion. Like, I love this segment so much. And then Trick Williams be like, but why ain't gotta be a ladder match? Like Trick Freda Heights. Like that yeah. was Kiki, what did you think?
I saw bits and pieces of the segment on Twitter. Yeah. And I just thought, like you said, it's very cultural, and it's like authentic. It's not forced, and they look yes. very, very relaxed.
Exactly. That if yes, that
part. You know what? They probably would have been even more relaxed if it was. You know, I wonder kind of where they filmed it or how they filmed it, because I don't know if that was a real barber shop, but also if they show up and no, like. Their hair is the same. I'm going to have a problem with that next week. I mean, I get people's hair grows back. Like, I get
they weren't actually getting a cut, though. It's like,
no, they,
it's
at
like
the end, they put the little, they put at the end of the segment, the two of their groupies or whoever those guys were, like, put on the smock. Smock, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And then they'd stop. So I don't know what was happening there, but whatever. That was, yeah. But look, appreciated. Maybe they would have been more comfortable too if, like, you know, Shawn Michaels or whoever wasn't standing in the, or Bruce Prichard wasn't standing in the background, like, okay, here's how you should book a barbershop. Like, I don't know what was happening, but I could picture it.
Yeah. I thought it was fun.
We love it. We love it. Love a ladder match. Love that there'll be four competitors yeah. with,
we're going to speed through because we don't want to keep
yeah.
us here. Listeners here, Kiki here, but I did love also the Chase U segment. I included it here because yeah. it, first of all, it had me cracking up. I'm like, who flips somebody the bird and says, how many fingers am I holding up right now? Like,
I mean, I will now.
Chase is, he is a madman. And I love that it's a reference to Bobby Knight, like the infamous basketball coach from like, what is he, like mm-hmm. the 80s or 90s, who was known
yeah,
for
like. Yeah, I think it was like the 80s.
Was the 80s? Yeah. yeah. Who was known for blowing up. I thought that, I think this is so funny because again, to me, like it feels like something we've not seen before. Like, am I tripping? I feel like this is something I've, in most of wrestling, I've never seen somebody do like it's a probably a very variation of some character, but this is so funny. Like, who says, yeah, give me my own university. I'm going to yell and berate my, what, students? But yeah, also.
Very fun.
yes. Yeah. And, but then Bodie, what's it?
I don't even know who that
name.
Person is.
He's something. Hilarious.
Bodie Hayward is his
Bodie
name.
Bodie Hayward.
He has a busted eye for some reason. Yes. And then he was in this. Look, this acting was it's so bad. Good. It reminded me of like the worst acting I've probably seen in wrestling, which was this. I don't know if either of you ever heard of this like random indie women's wrestling promotion from like. Probably 10, 15 years ago called Wrestlelicious. But if anyone wants to look that up, Wrestlelicious, it was straight up wrestle crap. And that's what this segment was giving me. But you know what?
No, no fun, Matt. You are no fun. The no fun league.
I'm the no fun zone.
Yeah.
That's a good
Kiki, anything on this? Before you,
I didn't get to see it. I'm gonna have to catch it, but I've seen his past things and it has been funny. I always laugh when he do lash out.
yeah, I know
funny.
It makes no sense at all.
I don't know. I just get worried because I'm like, damn. Is anyone gonna? I want someone to work with them on their acting because I don't think it'll. I get worried about them on the main roster a little bit, or mm-hmm. like if Vince is yeah. looking at, you know, that's the thing I think about.
This is why these,
I think yeah, about this,
but
too,
these are these vignettes. Mm-hmm.
I was scared because I was just like, what? I'm they're probably going to, I don't know their time limit. Like, what if USA just is like, you know what?
What is this on our TV?
Right.
This is local access TV. Like, why?
Right. Because the view, like, the ratings.
Yeah.
It's not good. So, yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Actually, I heard, though, with NXT that something like they have a good amount of people watching for it being NXT. I don't know what that means. I don't know if they care about the ratings. Yeah, that much.
They should put it on Peacock.
The average. Oh, please no! That I hate that DNA.
I struggle with Peacock. Like literally half the time, it's like I can't make it hit play.
It can't load.
I miss the network.
You can't resume. I miss the network.
Yeah, they need to bring the network back.
They really. I mean, you said it. So I'm. Yeah.
But that's our highlights of the week. Well, I should have said this earlier, but the highlights of the week can be found in the show notes and the show description. In a really handy dandy playlist.
Whole damn show
and yeah.
You know what? Just so you know, if you're a listener and you're this deep in and you didn't know that we have a playlist of clips, I'm sorry. We didn't let you know earlier, but they will be there every single episode. Some people, I meant to mention that earlier, Mari. Some people don't realize that there are show notes for shows, believe it or not. Look at that.
I know. If you're following us on YouTube, it's in the YouTube description. If you're listening to us on your podcast, it's in your podcast show notes. So yes, we do have a nice little clip there. Before we go, I just want to do a little quick segment with Kiki while we have her here. I know we're pushing it, but I think this will be really fun. So Kiki, I want to put you on the spot and do rapid fire questions.
Sorry, we don't have a sound drop.
Not yet. But all it is I'm just going to ask you questions about your personal opinions on wrestling, and just give me your answer as quick as possible. All right. So it's nothing like crazy. So to start off, who's your favorite current women's wrestler?
Bianca Belair.
Who's your favorite current male wrestler?
Ooh, it's a lot. My current favorite, Adam Page.
Okay. Ooh, yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite wrestling era?
Ruthless Aggression.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Who's your favorite tag team of all time?
Of all time, Dudley Boyz.
Okay.
I thought you were going to Billy Gunn and somebody, and I was like, huh.
Oh no.
You're interrupting my segment, Matt.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. So Reaction. We already know the answer to this, but it's on the questions. Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart?
Shawn Michaels.
The Rock or Stone Cold?
Stone Cold.
Triple H or Kurt Angle?
I'm sorry, my mom's a wrestling fan and she heard me say it.
Get her on the podcast.
What's the other question?
I done forgot. What did I say?
It was Triple H versus Kurt Angle. Or Kurt Angle.
Which era?
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just which one do you prefer?
Triple H.
Okay. Trish Stratus or Lita?
Trish.
All right. Okay. So that's it. Who's your favorite horsewoman?
Sasha Banks.
There it is.
Horsewoman is a funny name, by the way.
Is your mom a Charlotte fan? What is happening?
Mom, you a Charlotte fan? That was your sister. Oh, my sister. Oh.
That was your sister.
Wrestling in the family. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
They got it because you when I had said Stone Cold, she said, what?
What?
She said, why you didn't say nothing about The Undertaker?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. That was my bad, Mama.
Yeah, you know what? It's all good. We've talked about the question before. Chappelle met The Undertaker in a Walmart or something like that back in the day.
Oh, yeah, he did tell us that, yeah.
Weird, right? In Texas. Yeah. That's Texas.
Yeah, because he stayed in Houston. He's from Houston.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Kiki, thank you so much for being a guest. We had so much fun with you today.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Can you tell the listeners where to find you and plug anything you're doing?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at DastardlyDuo3. I am also the administrator in the Talk of Champions Facebook group. Ooh. And I did have an Instagram, but it was hacked. So I'm going to have to make a whole new one.
Dang, I hate that.
But rude. That's where you can find me.
Awesome. Matt, where can the people find you?
Oh my God, great question. You could find me on social media, Matt Scott GW. You could also find me here on the Wrestling Rehab Up. Other than that, about a week ago now at this point, I just recorded and released my last episode of Pod Friends, which is the podcast where I interview people in the Rob Has a Podcast universe, world, whatever. And I interviewed Wendell Holland, who won Survivor Ghost Island, was on Survivor Winners at War, is on HGTV doing big things, kind of building things up. So that was a lot of fun. And I would encourage people to check that out. And then also, I was on the Brazilian Dragon podcast with Felipe Shimon, where we talked about the 1996 movie Harriet the Spy for like 2.5 hours. Actually, it's only like 2.5 hours recorded, but then we had like an hour and a half before where we were talking, which we probably should have just recorded anyway. But that was a lot of fun. So that's kind of what I've been up to, other than just like watching Survivor and not watching Big Brother Canada, thankfully, for my sanity. Because I know you people, Mari, you are into that. But where could the people find you?
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. Like Matt pointed out, I am keeping up with Big Brother Canada 10. I was just on the live feed updates with Taryn on this past Thursday. I am here on the Wrestling Rehab Up every week until until we go on our hiatus and we'll let everybody know.
You know, until we're canceled.
Oh, yeah. But either one. I am on a show. We just dropped the teaser for it. I am on a show with the aforementioned Chappelle. Chappelle, and LaTanya Starks will be talking Atlanta season 3 on post-show recaps. So like we did our Insecure coverage, we're back on post-show recaps to cover season 3 of Atlanta. So we just dropped the teaser for Atlanta. It's like 30 minutes just telling you why you should watch Atlanta and catch up. Next week, we're going to drop it's a season review. So like the kickoff, we'll be talking about season 1 and season 2 and giving you background so you can catch up for season 3. And then we will be covering each episode of season 3. So go over to Post Show Recaps and subscribe so you can hear me, Chappelle, and LaTanya talk Atlanta. Other than that, please rate, review, and subscribe to the Wrestling Rehab Up on where you get all your podcasts and all your podcast platforms. And of course, like we said, you can always send us an email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. Until next week, remember, all wrestling is for everybody, but not wrestling is for everyone, but not all wrestling is for everybody. Bye, everybody.
Yeah, not all promos are for everybody, but hit our theme song.
I'm up, lay it down, just like Matt and Mari. Wrestling little rehab up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Moolah, Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flush it in the air, huh? Bummer rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw him up, lay it down, just like Matt Mari. Wrestling little rehab up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.